Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd like you to give us a call tonight. You can call us toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And also a reminder that we, of course, are a live program. And we are sponsored by my home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. A few other things we'll be talking about tonight. And I was going to mention our website. That's what I'm trying to think about here this evening. It's been a long day. But our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us. You can listen to some past programs. If you're not in an area where you can listen to our Friday afternoon program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, you can find that also at livewithpastoral.com. Let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program here this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what a day this has been today. This is one of those days that if you're not familiar with northeastern Ohio or not lived in similar sort of area that you get kind of up here in the Great Lakes region, today was a day why we call it weather and not climate here in this area. And I've lived places where they have climate. When I went to school in Colorado, they had climate. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, they had climate. Even where I lived in England when I was in the Air Force, they had climate there. Climate means you know basically what it's going to do from day to day weather-wise. You can tell. We have weather. You don't know whether it's going to be dry or wet, whether it's going to be sunny or cloudy, whether it's going to be warm or cold. It's been everything today. Getting ready for church this morning, and the sun was shining brightly. Although we had been down, and keep in mind, this is May 15th, and we had been down to 34 degrees on our thermometer last night, and sun was shining brightly, and up in Cleveland, they had snow on the ground in some spots east of Cleveland, and then we went to church, and we were looking out the window, and somebody said, "It's snowing." We looked out, and there was a few little flakes coming down. Next to me, great big huge flakes coming down, and we saw, well, let's see, today we've seen snow. We've seen hail. We've seen what we call grapple. If you're not familiar with that, it looks kind of like little pieces of styrofoam that have been, or soft hail is another description of it, I guess. It's rained today. I've been in it all. It's been cold. It actually, at one point during the day, got kind of nice. It's been windy today. It's been not windy today. What a day. If you're a fan of weather, this was a day for you. This is also the reason that a lot of people in northeastern Ohio migrate down to Florida. So they get tired of this round about December 31st, and so they're ready for some nice weather and don't come back until the snow stops. And usually it's stopped by now, but what a day this has been. But it's been kind of enjoyable. Hopefully it won't freeze tonight. They actually do have freeze warnings out for some parts of northeastern Ohio tonight. So hopefully for the farmer's sake and the orchards and things like that, they won't have that happen tonight. Well, I'm going to get back into our program. Just want to touch on a couple things there before jumping into, a little bit heavier topics here tonight. There's a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of things going on here in the United States that as a pastor, as a Christian, these are things that need to be addressed from the moral standpoint, from just the standpoint of standing for what's right, and also making people aware of what's happening in our country. And so we're going to touch on a couple of things here today. And I think starting with the first thing, there's two things that came out on Friday, this past Friday, the 13th. I was talking about some of this on Friday, on our Friday program, calling these Friday the 13th gifts from the Obama administration. And the one which we're going to touch on is a letter that was issued jointly by the Department of Education, United States Department of Education, as well as the U.S. Department of Justice. And this is it's called a Dear Colleague Letter on Transgender Students. And the thing that we were talking about, you probably heard about this. This is the letter that was sent to every public school in America Friday, not just public school. And when I say public schools, I'm talking about the school districts and encompassing the grade schools, the junior high schools, the high schools, and also colleges, universities, community colleges, vocational schools, all schools that receive public funding, and particularly the Title IX funding. This Dear Colleague letter on transgendered students was sent out. It was jointly authored by the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education, Catherine E. Looks like Laman, and also the Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Justice, Vinita Gupta. And the interesting thing with this is not an executive order. This is not a court decision. This is not a congressional bill of any sort. This isn't even some kind of a referendum or something that was voted on by the voters of the United States. This is a policy letter. Actually, it's more than a policy letter. This is actually a letter that sets out what they're calling significant guidance to schools on how they are to address and deal with transgender students. And it describes this guidance as summarizing the school's Title IX obligations. And it also provides information and examples to inform the recipients about how the departments, meaning the Department of Education, the Department of Justice, will evaluate whether covered entities are complying with their legal obligations. So this is a very heavy-handed letter that issued by essentially mid-level bureaucrats that are changing or directly affecting the conduct and policy at every public school in America. And you think, wait a minute, this is the United States of America. Don't we have freedoms? Don't we have a constitution? I mean, isn't there the 10th Amendment to the Constitution that says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people? There's nothing in the United States Constitution that says that the federal government, let alone the Department of Education or the Department of Justice, is supposed to make policy, bathroom policy and locker room policy for public schools across this country. But this letter, and like I said, this is not even an executive order. And I think what this shows is that, and we of course know that it came from, you know, directed from on high, but what this shows is that we've reached the point in this country where the current administration does not feel the need to push for legislation to change the policy and to directly regulate who can use what bathroom, locker room, and shower in public schools across this country. They don't need to go through the legislature to affect these changes. They don't need court rulings. They don't even need an executive order. They've reached the point where they believe that all they need is a letter put out by mid-level bureaucrats. And that's sufficient in order to dictate how schools across this country are going to conduct their business. And the threat here, of course, is that they will lose federal funding. If they do not enact these things, they will lose federal funding. And essentially what this does, and we might talk about this in a little bit more detail, but I want to share another thing that came out on Friday as well. But essentially what this does is it says that if a student merely says that they feel like they're a woman or they feel like they're a man, it doesn't matter what they are biologically. It says right here, and this is a quote from the letter, under Title IX, there is no medical diagnosis or treatment requirement that students must meet as a prerequisite to being treated consistent with their gender identity. Gender identity is defined in this letter as the individual's internal sense of gender. And this is regardless of whether they're actually male or female. So what this letter is saying is that if a teenage boy in high school suddenly decides that he'd like to see what it looks like inside the girls' locker room or go inside the girls' locker room and use the girls' shower while they're in there, all he has to do is state, according to this letter, that he identifies as a woman. And they cannot be questioned, or the student's parent or legal guardian can state, Billy actually identifies as a woman, regardless of the fact that he's physically male. He believes that he's a woman. And so as a consequence, they, according to this letter, cannot be refused admission into the women's restrooms, into the women's locker rooms. They can also, according to this letter, join women's sports teams. Now, somebody made a good point. I was looking at something, browsing through some materials, and they said, well, here's a great opportunity for guys who cannot make it on the male sports teams. They can instead switch over and join the women's sports teams, and they can compete in women's sports. As women, all they have to do is say that they identify as being a woman. So you can have a 6-foot guy on the women's basketball team, you know, who outweighs the women and everything else, and maybe he didn't cut it for the men's basketball team in his school, but all he has to do is say that he's a woman, and he gets to be on the women's basketball team. Now, you know, it sounds like you make stuff like this up, but it's all in this letter. You can actually download this letter. It's online, and the U.S. Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Education has this. Actually, it's linked to at our website or our Facebook page for livewithpastoral.com. I encourage you to check it out, read the letter. But there's all these things in here, and if somebody objects to it, well, the people who object are the ones who have to have essentially what amounts to sensitivity training, because they're considered to be the ones who are causing harassment. And it also says that if somebody is uncomfortable, has discomfort with having these people in their locker rooms or in their showers, it's not the transgendered person's problem. It's the problem of the person that has discomfort. And that's not enough to prevent them from being in there. And so this is something that is directly affecting. If you haven't heard about it yet, trust me, your local school has heard about it, and they're trying to figure out now how to react to this. There's a number of schools around the country. There are some states like the state of Texas Department of Education has said that this will not be enforced in the state of Texas. But what happens when the money dries up? What happens? The schools today are usually so strapped for cash that many of them, I predict, are going to get along with this and go along hoping that it won't be too much of a problem because they need the money. Well, let me give you the other thing that came out on Friday the 13th here this year. And this one here, I really haven't heard much about because everybody's talking about the bathroom and locker room ruling here. But also on in this day, Health and Human Services And again, this was put out by this department, the Department of Health and Human Services. They issued a final rule on Obamacare's, this is on the Affordable Health Care Act section 1557. And in this, they basically said that any health program or activity, any part which receives funding from Health and Human Services, such as hospitals that accept Medicare or doctors who accept Medicaid, also any health program that Health and Human Services itself administers, or any health insurance marketplaces or insurers that participate in those marketplaces, that they must. Now, this is not an option. This is a must. This rule says they must provide gender transition services and abortions. And specifically, it will require physicians, hospitals, insurers, and other healthcare entities that receive any federal funds, and that includes Medicare and Medicaid, to include gender transition treatments and abortions among their services. Now, there are some hospitals that have not provided abortion services, specifically some of those operated by the Roman Catholic Church. There's other Jewish hospitals and other hospitals operated by other religious groups that have avoided abortions. And these have been a place where nurses and doctors and different ones that do not want to be forced to perform or participate in abortions have been able to work in these sorts of health facilities or healthcare facilities and not have to worry about it. Well, this has been an ongoing battle with Obamacare, and this new ruling from Health and Human Services is requiring, mandating that all hospitals, all doctors, all physicians, all insurers, all healthcare entities across the United States of America that receive any kind of federal funds have to include abortion services and gender transition treatments. Now, we probably save some of the abortion discussion for a later time, perhaps, and certainly that is an infringement on the rights of healthcare workers who do not want to participate in them because they believe that abortion is the murder, the ending of the life of an unborn human being, which it is. I mean, medically and biologically, there's no way that you can claim that you are not ending a distinct human life. A few weeks ago, I discussed on the program, I think I discussed it at greater length on our Friday program, about how they found at the moment of conception, the exact moment of conception, that there is a spark which is given off, and it's kind of neat. It's like almost like fireworks given off. There's a number of thousands of receptor sites on the egg that store zinc ions or atoms. And when at the moment of conception, there's a chemical change that takes place across the surface of the egg that causes these receptor sites to release thousands and thousands, millions of these zinc ions, and it causes a fluorescent spark, which has now been actually videoed. And if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, I might have it there. I know I had it on our Facebook page at one time talking about that. And at that moment, there's a unique human life there. It's just at the very earliest stages. And so abortion is the ending of that distinct human life. And it's not non-human. And it's not non-living. Otherwise, if it was non-living, you wouldn't need an abortion. But getting back to the transgender side of this, there was a great article that came out here in the news, and I've been talking here quite a bit right now. I should give out the phone numbers again. I'm trying to cover a lot of information here today, but tonight. But if you want to weigh in on this, or if you've got some questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number, we're Toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. But it's interesting that Dr. Paul McHugh, he's a distinguished service professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University. He's also the former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital. Now, this guy here knows what he's talking about. This guy here's got good credentials. And he has studied the transgendered community for 40 years. And this is Dr. McHugh, an expert on transgendered. And he says it's a scientific fact that transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. That's his quote right there. He says instead, and this is what he said. He said instead they, quote, become feminized men or masculine women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex with which they identify. Now, this guy was the psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital for 26 years. And this is the same medical institute that initially pioneered same-sex surgery. They later ceased doing these things. And part of it is because they found that these people need psychological help rather than physical changes and alterations of the body. And so he said here that it's actually called gender dysphoria, and that's the official psychiatric term for considering them oneself to be the opposite sex. And he says it belongs in the same family of similar disordered assumptions about the body, such as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder. And treatment should not be directed at the body, as with surgery and hormones, any more than one treats obesity fearing anorexic patients with liposuction. We've got Nancy calling in, and we're going to get Nancy on the program here. And Nancy, welcome to the program here.
Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Al. I was listening with great interest all this discussion of you were sort of reviewing what you were talking about Friday about these two very, to me, not legal directives that the Obama administration, made the pronouncement on Friday the 13th. And I'm thinking, now this isn't my main question, but I'm thinking, and I've heard a certain local pastor who's on the radio say that perhaps Obama wants to stir up the people and get a lot, agitate the people so they will get so angry because so many people are going to be against it that he's trying to do all these things to start a revolution, and then they will say, okay, we're going to take away your guns, and then, of course, worst-case scenario that all these terrorists, of course, the Christians and the people that are against, the people that are against low taxes and all the different very moral, spiritual people, that they are the terrorists and they need to be incarcerated in FEMA camps. So do you think he's doing, this is really angering a whole lot of people. I mean, like the whole country. Do you think it's possible he's doing this deliberately or because...
Well, it's absolutely deliberate. It's absolutely deliberate. And we may run out of time here before we discuss this, as much as we want to here. And so I'll let you know in advance if we need to, we'll go into the next segment. But what I was going to say is it's very much deliberate. This was dumped in the Friday news cycle purposely so that it could get out there and not get hit by all the talk show hosts and stuff like that as much as if it had come out earlier in the week. They do this on purpose. They drop these things. And my wife had a good point with this. She said, think about it. It's still several months. We haven't even got to the conventions yet, the Republican or Democrat conventions. There's enough time that the Fuhrer can die down before the election comes. And I think rather than so much everybody getting stirred up, I found it interesting watching the news Friday night, the local news and the local news on Saturday and Sunday. I did. Maybe I missed it. Maybe somebody else saw it, but I did not see anybody on the local newscast discuss these issues at all.
Well, I mean, don't you think that's a phenomenon of what a certain local pastor calls the lamestream media?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because
media that are pretty much controlled by the Obama administration, and I call them their minions.
Well, and let me say something about that real quick. Yeah, let me say something about that. In terms of being controlled by the Obama administration, I have a little bit different view on it. My view is that it's not necessarily controlled by it, because they don't have to control the media, because the media already has the same goals and outlook that they have. So they correspond to each other. And, I don't have to control your opinion because you have similar opinions to me. So we have similar opinions. You see what I'm saying?
Good point.
And so the Obama administration and the mainstream media largely have similar opinions. They have similar political viewpoints. They have similar desires and goals.
You know, like pro-abortion, pro-sodomy.
Exactly. I on the way to the radio station tonight, and we'll have to hold this over to the second half of the program. But on the way to the radio station tonight, we were listening to somebody talk about some of Hillary's information coming out about her cocaine use and different things like that. And so why isn't the media picking up on this, is what they were saying. And I told my wife, I said, it's because it's not of interest to them to put that information out. Hey, stay tuned. We've got another half of the program to go. We'll pick up this topic in the second half.
Thank you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. If you're in the Northeast Ohio, I'd love to have you visit. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza of Garfield Heights and east side of Cleveland. Again, if you're in Northeast Ohio, the Cleveland area, invite you to stop into East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And if you live in the area, you can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And maybe you're out of the area. It's too far to travel for pizza. If you'd like to open your own pizza shop or you have a restaurant and you're looking for a good pizza recipe to add to your existing restaurant, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And of course, you can find them at East Coast Pizza, GarfieldHeights.com. That's East Coast Pizza, GarfieldHeights.com. We're going to get back to our program. We were talking about the Obama administration's gifts on last Friday, the 13th, his Lucky Friday, the 13th, gifts of two things. Both of them accomplishing, of course, his campaign promise to fundamentally change America by using mid-level bureaucrats at the Department of Education and the Department of Justice. He informed every school in America that receives public funds that they now have to allow anybody to use whatever bathroom or locker room that they choose. And then, of course, there's threats of loss of federal funding and investigation by the Department of Justice if they do not comply with these edicts. And then, of course, the other one that we were talking about before the break, about the also on Friday the 13th, the order that every doctor, physician, hospital, healthcare organization that receives federal funds, which would include Medicaid and Medicare, must under the Obamacare Act, they must provide gender transition services and abortion services, and no exceptions or if they receive any kind of federal funds. And we're talking about how that one of the foremost psychologist that has studied the transgendered community, transgendered people for over 40 years, Dr. Paul McHugh, the distinguished service professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University and former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital, released this study where he says that gender dysphoria is a distinct illness. It's a mental illness in the same category as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder. And one thing I wanted to share here is that he also did a study, reported a study here, where in Sweden, which of all the countries in the world has probably been the most open to the transgendered community and sex reassigned people. Over 30 years, this study has been conducted in Sweden, and they have documented that the people who have gone through sex reassignment surgeries and treatments, that their mental state is in a constant state of unrest. And he has found that in 10 to 15 years after surgical reassignment, the suicide rate of those who had undergone sex reassignment surgery rose to 20 times that of comparable peers. Now, That's quite a number, 20 times, not 20%, 20 times that of comparable peers. And so the Obama administration is advocating a course of action that leads to what Dr. McHugh calls lifelong mental unrest, and through documentation has shown drastically increases the suicide rate. That's what the Obama administration wants for your children across America. And we were talking with Nancy, and Nancy, are you still with us here?
Yes. Really. Well, that's fascinating about that, 20 times the suicide rate for those that have had the surgery 10 or 15 years later. That is horrific. That is just awful. But, Obama, as part of the global agenda,
mm-hmm.
he wants to reduce world population.
I'm glad you brought that up.
7 billion down to like 500,000. So
right.
A lot of people have to be killed off. So anything that would accomplish that goal, like abortion, euthanasia,
mm-hmm.
and now this, I didn't realize that this was so big.
And let me touch on that a second there, Nancy.
Yeah.
The idea of reducing the world population, a lot of people don't understand how this ties in. And again, touching on something that we talked about just before the break about the Obama administration and the media, whether they control the media or the media is just on the same page or on the same playbook.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have to control
good
them
point.
Because they're yeah. cooperating. They're in agreement.
Uh-huh.
They agree with each other.
Uh-huh.
When I went to college at Colorado State University back in the late 70s, early 80s, I went to school with people. I've got a background, in biology and also natural
uh-huh.
resource management. I went to school
right.
with people who bought into this whole business, and they don't tell you this up front, but they believe
uh-huh.
the world population needs to be reduced to 500 million people. That's
uh-huh.
that's what people in the environmentalist movement believe. I know people personally who argued for that when we were in college, who believed that.
Uh-huh.
And I read some of the materials. Now, a lot of times when they're talking publicly, they'll talk about, well, the global population needs to be reduced to maybe a billion or a couple billion or something like that. They try to keep it in the billions, but they really want it down to 500 million. That's a lot of people. What is the world population now? I think we're around 7 billion. And if anybody listening, looks in the mirror or looks at whoever's in the room with them, guess what? You're likely not on the short list of the 500 million that get to inherit the earth. And what is going on here? And this is not usually brought out, but they well know that by pushing the LGBT agenda, there's not going to be as many children produced. That's all well and good. It's the same reason, everybody is concerned about the Zika virus down in Brazil and also in the southern half of the United States, Florida. Our listeners in Florida, the Zika virus is a concern there in Georgia and other places. But what people don't tell you is that DDT, which is an extremely effective and safe pesticide for controlling mosquito populations, was banned in the 1970s by the EPA, not because it was poisonous, not because it was killing the birds. Rachel Carlson's book in the 1950s, Silent Spring, was a great work of fiction. It was absolutely ridiculous. And some of the things that she said in there were no different than the population bomb in the 70s and things like that. They were all works of fiction presented as fact in order to get people to buy into the environmentalist agenda. And they use these things to ban DDT as a terrible scourge on the environment. It's one of the safest pesticides that you can use. There's a guy that went around demonstrating the safety of DDT. He would stir a spoonful into it in a glass of water and drink it on a regular basis. And it doesn't harm birds and mammals and all. It only affects insects and specifically mosquitoes. The banning of DDT is directly responsible for millions of deaths in Africa. Millions, not thousands, not hundreds of thousands, tens of millions of deaths in Africa because of the banning of DDT. The environmentalist movement, in fact, the first head of the EPA, appointed by President Richard Nixon, had a study done into the safety of DDT, and I hadn't planned on talking about this, so this, a lot of this is from memory, but he had a study done, and the study found that DDT was one of the safest pesticides that we had. And with that study in mind, he promptly pushed it aside and banned DDT. And they used that as a part of foreign policy. If countries would not stop using DDT, they would not get federal or grants from the United States of America.
Wow.
And those actions have killed, have directly resulted in the deaths from malaria and other mosquito-borne illnesses in the probably the tens of millions in Africa in particular. The environmentalists wanted that, because they wanted to reduce the world's population.
I never realized that banning of DDT was worldwide.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of this information is online. You can find a lot of this information online. And that was one of their ways to help reduce the world population. And so they're trying to do this. But getting back to the things that we were talking about here, I mean, it's very clear in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then chapter 5, verse 2 again says, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day in which they were created. So God created us male and female, and our purpose was to multiply and fill the earth, and God had plans for us. And so when we see sin entering into the world because of Adam and Eve's disobedience of God, what we then see happening is also physical illnesses and mental illnesses and things entering into the world. And that's why Dr. McHugh said that gender dysphoria, the idea that somebody identifies with a gender different than their biological sex, is actually a psychiatric disorder on the same level of anorexia nervosa, where you have somebody, generally speaking, but not exclusively, young women who are nothing but skin and bones, who think they're grossly overweight. Other conditions where people think that their leg doesn't belong to them, and they want the doctor to surgically remove their leg, or things like that. And these are the types of things that he says that gender dysphoria is related to. It's a mental illness, and it needs to be treated psychiatrically. It needs to be treated with counseling and psychiatric psychiatric help, which it always had been in the past, rather than indulging them in their fantasy even doing surgical and hormonal alterations of the body. And unfortunately, that's what's going on. And those activities promote further mental unrest, according to Dr. McHugh, and also increase the likelihood of suicide. Nancy, got another caller calling in on this subject.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And I appreciate your input there. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we've got Al calling in tonight. Al, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Regarding this transgender bathroom issue, where in the Constitution do we have to play to every minority that has a field that they want to go into? Because, you know, I just don't understand why we're going to all of this homosexuality, transgender, and all the rest of those things. And they seem to be basing it on the Constitution, and I'm not gathering where it is, because basically, if with the evolutionists out there, where we all came from animals, if I feel I identify with a dog, am I supposed to be able to use a fire plug from here on in? Because that
who can stop you?
I think I would get unlimited support from Obama, but it's just I question where they find this in the Constitution.
Well, and you're not wrong on that, because you don't find it in the Constitution. In fact, as I had mentioned, I think in the earlier in the program, specifically Amendment 10 to the United States Constitution says very simply, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. It's not in the Constitution, and there's also likewise no right to not be offended in the Constitution. They're making this stuff up. You know, back when they gave us abortion, they manufactured a right to privacy in the Constitution. It wasn't there, but they somehow found it hiding between the lines. But in this case, you can see how far society has sunk, how far we have gotten away from the principles of a Republican constitutional form of government. To where now they don't even make the pretext of finding it in the Constitution. It's sufficient that mid-level bureaucrats simply write out a letter and send it out. It's like the old, for people who remember the old Cold War era, the old Soviet Union, where the local commissar, unimpeded by any kind of laws, could simply issue orders and edicts to the local population dependent on his whims. It's like we've morphed into, you know, the United States of America, the United Soviet Socialist States of America. It's a sad thing. And I think that they're counting on us not reacting or making some noise about it, and then the noise dying down by the time the election rolls around, and then people having the reaction that Governor Kasich of Ohio did during the Supreme Court Obergefell decision last year, when he said, well, the courts has spoken on this. It's the law of the land. Nothing we can do about it now. We just got to learn to live with it. And then promptly a few weeks later went off to attend a same-sex marriage of some of his aides. Well, it tells you where his thoughts are.
It's amazing that God has this much patience to deal with us, because I hope he doesn't get a newspaper or watch CNN, because it's just like we're done.
Well, you know, and I've brought this up on previous programs and hadn't intended on talking about it so much tonight, but since you mentioned that here, the Bible says that Jesus said it would be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Or in the days of Lot before Jesus comes back in the last days. He said it would be like in the days of Noah, and also in the days of Lot. And, of course, what was the characteristic of the days of Noah? Wickedness. The world was given over to wickedness, and wickedness is the absence of goodness, really, when you think about it. A lot of times we think of wickedness being the opposite of goodness. Wickedness is the absence of goodness, just like light, for instance, is not so much the opposite, darkness is not the opposite of light, it's the absence of light. Because when you take away light, the result is darkness. When you take away goodness, the result is wickedness. And that was one of the primary characteristics of Noah's day. And then also the days before, in the last days before the return of the Lord would be characterized by being like in the days of Lot. And in the days of Lot, what was it there? Sexual immorality, homosexuality there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And, we're seeing that today, aren't we?
We certainly are.
there it is. I was going to read it in Luke chapter 17. I had gone by it. I was flipping through the pages while talking here. And for somebody who wants to read this, Luke chapter 17, starting in verse number 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This is the last days when we see this. I never would have thought that they could have got away with this, you know, doing this. And hopefully somebody's going to challenge this in court, but these things are already supposed to be in effect. Absolutely amazing. And they did it, like I said, not through an act of Congress, not through a court decision, not even through an executive order, but through letters issued by mid-level bureaucrats.
I heard the word decree being used.
Yes, it's a decree.
Decrees are made by kings, not by politicians.
And I've used the word edict oftentimes to refer to this, because that's something that's issued that you must obey. You must comply. It's like the to quote from an old science fiction show, the Star Trek, I think what it was, at the Next Generation with the Borg, if anybody remembers that, resistance is futile, you shall be assimilated. That's kind of the way it is today. You know, it's like the attack of the Borg. So,
thank you for letting me vent today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is something that hopefully is not going to die down. This is something that directly affects everyone in America, really, if you think about it, because prior to Friday the 13th, it was Target that said, oh, anybody can use the bathroom of their choice, the changing room of their choice in Target. And that, well, I can avoid going to Target. Oh, well, it's a law in California. You know, I don't live in California. I'm not going to go out there. That's the land of fruits and nuts anyways. Or it's that school in Chicago. I'm not going to be affected by that. But now it's every single public school in America. It's every single public hospital or doctor or hospital that accepts federal funds in America. And that's most of them, because there's not too many doctors out there that do not accept Medicare, Medicaid, things of that nature. I mean, it's just the fact of the medical world in which we live in today. My wife is in the medical field, and they deal with it all the time. These two edicts or decrees, as you said, will affect everybody in every part of America. And how America reacts to this is going to be interesting to watch. Will people challenge it? Will they rise up? Will they protest? Will they stand for truth and what's right? Or will they just simply roll over and give in to it? There's going to be some people who don't think it's that bad of a thing. Guarantee there's going to be people in junior high school and high school who are going to think, hey, this is great. I can go into the girls' locker room anytime I want to now. All I have to do is say I'm a girl. I can go in there and they can't say no. And that sounds like you're making this up, but when you read the letter put out by the Department of Justice and the Department of Education, it's in there. They can do it. All they have to do is say they're a girl, and that's it. Nobody can question them. If anybody questions them, the heavy hand of the federal government comes down on them. Might as well start issuing the jackboots, I guess. But Al, thanks for the call tonight. Did you have anything else? Got just a few seconds left.
No, but I do thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks to all of our listeners and our callers tonight. Appreciate that. And be informed. I mean, this is something I hope that your church talked about this today. I really do. And if they didn't, why don't you ask your pastor why and see what the Bible has to say about this. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.